Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Thursday. Welcome into this all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. In just a moment, we'll be joined by the one and only Mike Wall. Great conversation with him earlier today that you're going to really enjoy it. We talked about some really key topics, including the play of Quay Walker, Keyshawn Nixon, Kenny Clark, maybe what's not going according to plan and kind of what Mike is seeing on tape. So you're going to want to stick around for that. A couple quick transaction notes from the day. Alex Magoo signed back to the practice squad. This is a bit of an interesting one for me. When you look at Alex Magoo bringing him back, he just turned 29 years old. He's making a transition from quarterback to wide receiver. Your wide receiver room is stacked with six people. You've got three wide receivers already on the practice squad. Like, he is now the 10th wide receiver on this team in totality, including the practice squad. It's tough to sort of figure out. Like, usually you want like guys that are like 22, 23 that are up and coming. Like, maybe you find a diamond in the rough. It's hard to imagine all of a sudden an Alex Magoo breakout at age 29, changing from quarterback to wide receiver, right? But they continue to like him and have high praise for him. They said he's a great locker room guy. Maybe this is more, and if I had to guess, this is probably more of like a scout team thing. Maybe, you know, you do have Taysom Hill coming up against the Saints. You know, maybe you're having him emulate Taysom Hill a little bit when the Saints come to town. I don't know. My guess is this is probably a scout team thing where you can utilize him as a wide receiver, a quarterback, and just some different ways that help your actual team out when you're having to go against him in practice every day. But you never quite know. Maybe there's something hidden there. They clearly like him and they bring him back on the practice squad. Meanwhile, Marshawn Lloyd did in fact go on the non-football injury list. So he will be out for the next 4 weeks, and they do now have that open roster spot available, and we will see how they utilize that. Quick shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Matt Benicke and Sam Kaufman. Appreciate you guys signing up to become new members. Hope you're enjoying all the extra perks. If you have not done so yet, make sure to check out those memberships. And like I said on the live show the other night, it is not a prerequisite to being a fan of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Like, just being here, supporting the show, doing anything you can, just watching is by far and away enough. And of course, if you want to sign up to become a member, that's amazing. I love that. It certainly supports the show in a major way, but I just appreciate all the support that you guys show in a variety of different ways. And if that's just watching, telling a friend, liking, comment, whatever that may be, that's awesome. I just sincerely appreciate you guys being here and making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. Without any further ado, here's my conversation with Mike Wall. All right, we're joined now by the great Mike Wall. You can find him on social media at MikeWall68. Of course, his phenomenal Process to Perform channel. Mike, we have an interesting game to talk about today. Packers, Bears, we look forward to Packers 49ers as well. I'm sure we're going to get through all of it. But before we get there, how are you doing, my friend?
Andy, I'm doing great. I saw the I saw the sun for the first time in 2.5 weeks this morning. So life is good.
I'm glad to hear it. Just a little cloudy over in your neck of the woods, or rain? What do we got going on?
Yeah, it's like Seattle here. You just, every day you wake up, you're just hoping, man. Just a glimpse. Some birds singing and a little bit of sunshine.
It's been a little gloomy over here, but certainly not for that period of time. I'm happy to see you're getting some vitamin D. Always much appreciated when we get that. And the opposite. Yesterday was just rainy. It's just one of those classic, did not want to get out of bed at all. So I know exactly how that feels. Let's get to this Packers-Bears game. Thankfully, it was not a rainy doom and gloom day for Green Bay. They picked up the win at the very end of that game with the blocked field goal. Per usual, Mike, I will start with you and I'll allow you to go in any direction that you want to go in. What were some of your key takeaways from this game?
Well, I mean, you know, 2019, you got to feel, you somehow have to feel that the defense did their job. I think there's some things did stand out, though. You know, on the plus side, there's not a lot of big plays for the Bears. But I saw way too many rush lane issues with Caleb Williams, just way too many bad fits, too many missed tackles at the line of scrimmage. And, honestly, just from a coordinator standpoint, I thought that the Bears did a really good job offensively of just finding angles and exploiting numbers. I think they did a really good job with that. Part of that was obviously Caleb being able to do some of the option stuff and the RPOs, but I thought they did a really good job exploiting angles in particular with the Packers, and they stunned us on the second level, which I'm a little bit surprised to see. Over the course of this year, they've been pretty good there. And then, you know, offensively, Andy, I mean, Josh Jacobs has so many yards after contact. It's amazing how effective he's been given sometimes what you're looking at. Wilson obviously has the career day, and it's another one of those games though where you're like, offense doesn't really look that good, but they have like 360 some odd yards. You know, it's just it's always this offense is always kind of finds a way to put some sort of stats on the board. But again, it's like that first drive is what we always want to see, where Josh Jacobs is running. We get the throw down the seam to 11 to Jaden, and then you know it's like why can't that be a launch pad for the rest of the game? Just for the last 2 weeks, it doesn't seem like it's ever the launch pad. It feels like it's the finale.
Yeah, it seems like they've got that great plan early, and then it just kind of dissipates a little bit from there. It's hard to evaluate the offense in this one because, like you said, between the 20s, they were just phenomenal in the red zone. They get three touchdowns on five trips. I think of the other two end in field goals, you probably feel a little bit better about it, but having the two that destruct and you have obviously the interception by Jordan and the one that you don't pick up anything on fourth down, those obviously made it a lot tougher, kept the game a lot closer. But you go back and watch it, you see again what they did between the 20s. You feel it was pretty darn efficient throughout the course of the day. And like you said, Josh Jacobs, Christian Watson, both having phenomenal days, you feel mostly good about it. But again, just left you wanting a little bit more when it came to a final score standpoint.
I mean, the Bears' defense isn't – the Bears aren't very good. I think that's the hard part. The Bears aren't very good, they're not good. Yep. But, like, we say Josh Jacobs had a nice day. I think he had a nice first quarter. I think he's a phenomenal player, and so I think he creates some good opportunities. He was good in the passing game. But, like, this is one of those games where he should have well over 100 yards, you would think.
Fair.
And they don't. And listen, you always have to nitpick when your team's winning games and you're 8-3 or whatever, and you're going, oh, they're not that good. But they're 8-3 in the National Football League or whatever the record is. And so you start going, you know, how are you going to beat the good teams in the NFC to get to the promised land? And I think there's, you know, at this point, if you're in the locker room or if you're in the media rooms and you're going, okay, like, what do we really need to figure out here? Well, I think the Bears showed us some stuff on defense that they exploited that we just talked about. And then offensively, if you're turning the ball over at the quarterback position, maybe, you know, certainly more than you want to, particularly on early downs. I like that they take chances down. Obviously, you don't get it on the fourth down. That's fine. Sometimes you live by the sword, you die by the sword. But there's some really good plays up the middle this week. But I'm a tape watcher. So when you watch tape and you see what's happening actually between the tackles, it's not as much of a dominating performance as you would sometimes think with some of those big runs. And it's just a phenomenal, like, there's a safety sitting in the hole and Josh Jacobs somehow makes him miss in a 6-inch space. He misses by 4 inches. And you're like, well, that doesn't even make sense. So there's some of that stuff going on a little bit that I think they can just continue to develop and improve. But always good to win when you're not playing great.
No, I think we see it from a very similar way, though. If we're not looking at this of, like, can you beat the Bears? It's more of, can you beat Detroit? Can you beat Minnesota, Philadelphia, KC, or Buffalo? Like, can you make that run come playoff time? And I think if they play this particular brand of football, it's going to be hard to do so. I think we all know they have a ways to grow. And some of those things that you're mentioning, run blocking, red zone offense, not turning over the football, run fits on defense, those are going to be super key if they do want to become the team that we think they're capable of becoming and clearly just aren't there quite yet at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that. You just wonder, you know, part of me goes, okay, do we have the pieces in place to actually beat the Detroit Lions to get to, or the San Francisco 49ers? Or consistent, like, is that a game, are those games that you can go in and say, we expect to win these? And I think the jury's still out. You know, they made such a great run in the playoffs last year. The Cowboys obviously look where they are now, but it was such a definitive win down in Dallas. And then it was such a good game, really, with the Niners game was just such a closely contested match that you think, okay, that's a launch pad to some real success this year. And while I think they're certainly an effective team and they're winning some games, as you look at, okay, when you go up against some real powerhouses, what does that look like? And I'm not sure that anybody really knows the answer to that question.
No, it's TBD. And I think these next 7 weeks of the regular season are going to need a lot of growth and will show us. I think even this week against San Francisco, we'll get a much better idea of how they play in this game. So some tough games at Minnesota, at Detroit, San Fran this weekend. I think Miami's going to be easy on Thanksgiving. So I think we're about to learn a lot more about the mettle of this Packers team and just what they may be capable of come playoff time. I'm curious on your thoughts on a couple of very specific things. All right, the first one is, this is the first game post-Preston Smith trade, and we got to see some players fill in. Obviously, Enagbare played a lot more. He was the starter in this game. LVN pretty much played his usual amount of snaps, and we saw a lot more Brenton Cox. We've never really seen much Brenton Cox before. And then just a little bit of Aaron Mosby. How did you feel that went, and did anything stand out to you of like, all right, this might be able to work moving forward?
Well, Brenton Cox obviously made a couple plays where I think one was on the quarterback keeper where he didn't bite. I don't know if that was designed or if he just decided to go because he didn't look like he read it. There was another where they didn't block him off. He was playing right defensive end. He just ran and make a tackle on the backfield. So, and then Barry's made those plays before, and those plays are there to be made sometimes with these different offenses. But as far as if the question is, are you asking me, do we think we're going to improve the pass rush now? The answer is no.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's still a huge problem for this team. I don't know where they're going to generate that. I guess the one thing you would say is Rashawn Gary had two plays in a row at the end of the game where he caused one sack and he was responsible for the other. And both of those were kind of what we've been preaching for the last 2 years, you know, just go ahead and pull no punches, angle rush him, pull, get your hands on him. You can long arm. You have great leverage. Use it, especially against, you know, lesser players. Like, quite frankly, the Bears have one good offensive lineman. And he doesn't play, you know, he plays right tackle. If he's over on the left side, it's like, you should be doing this all day. So I don't know. I don't think I answered your question except to say that I didn't see anything that I went, oh, wow, this is going to make up for that leadership and all those. Like, those, the numbers are going to be so good that it's going to make up for that loss. I don't think so, but it's always hard to say when guys don't have stats, Andy, that it's like, you know, I can sit here and go, oh, but he's a leader. Oh, but he does these intangible things. But, you know, when you get on shows sometimes, it's like, well, if he doesn't have 4 sacks or 10 sacks or whatever, then, you know, he's a good trade. So we'll see.
Yeah, I get it. And I am with you in the fact that I thought Enagbare had a tough game in this one. LVN continued to struggle. Gary was promising, especially at the end with, again, like you said, kind of responsible for those 2 sacks to get it to 3rd and 19. Brenton Cox made a couple unblocked plays. I think pretty much anyone at that position probably makes those very similar plays. But it's just a position overall, both defensive end and I think interior at defensive tackle that needs to get better. And if we talk about things where Green Bay wants to reach the level that they want to reach, I think it starts 1A to me with pass rush and getting a little bit more, you know, just winning your one-on-ones with a little bit more consistency. I mean, Jeff Hafley was not afraid to bring blitzers in this game, and it wasn't enough. They couldn't either get there or cover it up on the back end well enough to you know, make those big impact plays. And it's really, really tough if you can't get there with four and you can't win your one-on-ones to kind of be the defense that you want to be.
Yeah, and, you know, the Bears are satisfied with a lot of plays, sending down 3 receivers and blocking 8 and still making some plays and then still having the quarterback escape out and making plays with his legs. So there's kind of a lot of things there that you can improve on. When I look at pass rush, you obviously look at it like if you have a guy designated to win your one-on-one, that certainly goes into the equation. But you have to have some sort of rush lane integrity with a guy like Caleb Williams at the quarterback position, knowing, especially as a young player, you know, he's more apt to hold the ball a little bit longer. He's more apt to break the pocket. And so when you see guys continuing to rush over the top, and you guys take a wide angles in the 3-technique position, and then when you're running a lot of, we've talked about this a long time with like Quay, for example. I think Quay's probably better when you bring him on blitzes and when he's not, or bringing him on dogs when he's not. But even the situations where they're walking those guys up in the A gap and then they're trying to run the pick, like, that is one of the sloppiest pick jobs I've ever seen in those stunt games. So I think you just need to clean up some of this stuff. And you're not going to always win. And quite frankly, with the guys you have, at least at the end position, you're not going to win very often. But you can exercise some rush lane integrity, and I think that will at least help bottle up some of those big plays that the quarterbacks can make with the legs.
I think that has to be the hope. I was surprised they didn't have that rush line integrity, especially early in the year. They did a pretty good job against guys like Anthony Richardson, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray. To not sort of be prepared for Caleb in a similar way was a little bit surprising. I don't know if the mandate was, hey, we need to get sacks, we need to get pressures, and integrity be darned, or if they just had a bad game with it, but it was definitely a little bit surprising to see. With that in mind, there are three particular players that I kind of want to ask you about that seem to be the in the eye of the Packers internet at the moment. So we'll start with the one that you just mentioned, Quay Walker, obviously having a couple different opportunities to make some plays in this game. I did think, going back and watching it, there were a couple plays here and there that he did make. I thought the play in coverage was really, really good, where he broke up the pass to Keenan Allen. There were a couple plays early that he showed up on, but it's still been extremely inconsistent at best. And I don't know about you. I don't know what to do with that position. I don't know if you still feel comfortable with Quay. How are we feeling about Quay Walker right now? This is a big one. San Francisco is coming to Green Bay for an epic matchup on Sunday afternoon. And with a recent San Francisco loss, Green Bay could just put their playoff odds in jeopardy. But that's not all we're looking forward to this week. We're also looking forward to another winning week on Prize Picks. With Prize Picks, you can win up to 100 times your money with as few as 4 correct picks. And right now, you can sign up and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this football season. Which players are going off, which ones aren't, make your picks in fewer than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. This week, yeah, I'm guessing Christian McCaffrey is going to get his against Green Bay's defense, but I also expect a huge week from both Jaden Reed and Tucker Kraft. The best part, whoever you want to go with, there are a ton of options out there that you can choose from. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app, using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after your first $5 play. Prize Picks. Run your game. Hey everyone, with the holidays creeping up faster than your great aunt's fruitcake recipe, I've got something way better to share with you. If you want to look sharp for all those festive gatherings and maybe finally win that best groomed at the family dinner award, check out the latest masterpiece from Manscaped, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver. Trust me, it's like Rudolph for your face, guiding you to a smooth, irritation-free shave. Head over to manscaped.com and join the over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using code PACKADAY for 20% off plus free shipping. Now, you may have recently seen Mustache Andy lately. It was a beautiful sight to behold, and that wouldn't have been possible without the Chairman Pro's Flex Adjust technology, which is basically like the holiday miracle of shaving. And when I needed even more precision to get that mustache look just right, there was the Precision Lock. And when you lock it in, the blade head sits firm so you can achieve a more precise shave, and that's exactly what I did. So get the Chairman Pro today and experience a shave that is as smooth as you deserve. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. What are you waiting for?
It's a really tough sport to play in 2024 when everybody has access to the game tape.
Yep.
You know, that's the truth. So I can make you a highlight tape and it looks good, and I'm making a highlight tape and it looks terrible.
Yep.
It could be in the same game.
Very much.
And so, I think that's, you know, unfortunately with Quay, he's on the side of everybody wants to complain about him right now. So I thought he made a lot of really good plays in this football game, and I thought he blew a couple plays that he had certainly had a chance to make. You know, particularly when rushing the quarterback or filling the hole but not quite making the play. Even, you know, sometimes when you make a back jump in the backfield and you miss the tackle, it's like, it's okay, because you haven't made a play, but you've kind of done your job. But you see people just pile on about, you know, this, that, and the other. I certainly can tell you firsthand that's a very hard thing to have to go through. But that's the responsibility he bears by being the first-round draft pick for the Green Bay Packers and playing where he plays. And if we're just talking about performance, I think he's gotten better this year. I like the aggressive. I like the way he plays now so much better than he played last year and the year before. I mean, and honestly, with these reports. But if you're just talking about how effective is he versus Eric Wilson, versus Isaiah McDuffie, versus Andrew Cooper, I don't think he's as an effective a player as any three of those guys at any given time on the field. I think if I had to go out and pick three guys out of the four to make tackles consistently at or behind the line of scrimmage, I think I'm going to pick the other three before I pick him. And that's just, again, sometimes it's tough when you're drafted where you're drafted. We talk about Van Ness all the time. We talk about Jordan Morgan as well. It's just, that's part of the deal, but it is, he could be a 4-year guy, and in 4 years, you're like, you know, he could be the next Patrick Queen. I mean, he could.
Yep.
I mean, he's got that kind of body and build, but instinctively, he's just not where those other guys are. And because of that, it kind of makes it tough sometimes because he does miss some plays where you go, I know those other guys aren't missing those.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And I do agree. I know PFF had a slight positive grade on him in this game, again, for whatever that's worth. I went back and watched it, and I was actually surprised, especially early on in the game, how many plays he did make in this game. It wasn't as bad as I thought it looked on the game tape, which it usually never quite is. So I did think there were some things that he did well in this game. Just again, the consistency thing is what you probably like just a little bit more. And some of those instinctual things that again, show up from time to time with Quay. I still hope he gets there. I think he's going to continue to get a lot of opportunities. I don't think they're going to go away from him, for better or worse, but, you know, we'll see if he can kind of turn it around. I think they've got a really good linebackers coach in Anthony Campanelli. I think the scheme works for him. I just got to find a way to make some of those plays. Let's go to another one. Let's go to one of the things you mentioned on the defensive line. I want to talk about Kenny Clark. PFF has him charted with zero pressures over the course of the last three games. He's getting a lot of double teams. There's no question about that. He's definitely seen his share of having to try to beat two guys at the same time. We haven't quite seen him have that same impact, though. What's your view on how Kenny Clark's played so far this year?
I think the pressures kind of says it all. That's a production position. And we talked about it at the beginning of the year, how excited it would have been to have him start in a defense like this from the jump, from his first day as a Packer, because I think from a quick twitch, body type, violence standpoint, everything that they're asking him to do would have made a ton of sense, I think, in up top in the helmet. But unfortunately, I think a lot of that's a learned skill, and you're looking at a guy who's been doing it a certain way for a long time and is being asked to do things a little bit differently. We saw early on where he was actually, charging ahead, sometimes maybe getting himself out of the gap or out of position because he was really focusing on just trying to penetrate. So I think he's gone a little bit away from that. The pendulum swung a little bit now, and maybe he's not doing that as much as he needs to. And then, you know, the hard part about not being a pass rusher and not having kind of a chop club rip or a jump chop or a double swipe or, you know, a double swipe stab or, you know, all of these things that you can really affect the way that the offensive lineman plays you. If you don't have that stuff and you just have kind of like a stutter, you know, a stutter swipe or stutter club is what I think what he likes to do, the mess. Like, I can sit on that all day. And until you show me something new, it's hard to defeat. It's hard to be defeated. So I guess that's a long-winded way of me saying that, you know, I think from a structural standpoint, I think Kenny does a great job. But he's been taught to not be a stat stuffer. Like, he's made a lot of money and had a lot of recognition of while not being a stat stuffer. And now you're asking him to be a little bit more of a stat stuffer. And yeah, I think it's just sometimes it's hard for a tiger to change stripes.
A couple of things in regards to that. I don't know if this is something that you can kind of, I'm sure you probably can, but like walk through, like when you are Kenny Clark and you've played a certain way for so long, and now you're making this transition into a new defense, or for any of these guys, whether it's Rashawn Gary going to a 4-3, whether it's LVN going to, like, just these guys making that transition, what is the difficult aspect? Cause there's the easy watered down simplified version of like, hey, you've got a guy in front of you, you got to find a way to beat him. But obviously there's a lot more that goes into that. Like, what makes it difficult changing the scheme and becoming a different player? And why is that so difficult to make that change and become sort of a different player in a new scheme?
So imagine you were a race car driver.
Okay.
Okay. And then, you know, you are what you are, you use both feet, you know how to, you know how to change gears and all those things. And then someone says, oh, we're just going to put you on a motorcycle now and you have to run the same course, right? Like, you're still racing. What's the difference?
The difference.
And I think that's what happens with these guys is, yeah, there's still somebody in front of you, but the requirements of success and the mechanics to get there are different now. So your first step is different. The way you use your hands is different. Your body angles are different. The way I'm attacking the player, I mean, just effectively, if you're two gapping, let's just make it as easy as possible. If you're two gapping, you're trying to cover me up. Yeah. And if you're one gapping, you're trying to take one of my edges and force my chest to go to the sideline like this. So just conceptually, that's a completely different idea. And so I think that's the mindset shift. Now, when you talk about defensive ends, you know, for me, I don't think there's much of a difference between playing outside backer and putting your hand, and then all of a sudden, except for putting your hand in the dirt, which for most right. of these guys should be an improvement. I mean, Lucas Van Ness in college was better with his hand in the dirt than he wasn't.
Agreed.
Sean Gary, it makes less than zero sense to me that he's not better with his hand in the dirt than if not, just because his stance wasn't really a stance that promoted a good get off. So I think it's a little bit different outside because usually the requirements like you have outside contain, but certainly inside there is like from going to, you know, driving a Formula One car, you can be world class, but you put you on a motorcycle, man, it's a different sport.
You mentioned too the different moves that different players have at their disposals. And we don't see a lot of that from really any of these Green Bay rushers, not too much at least. I want you to kind of go back as you're watching these defensive linemen and put yourself in your game planning for Green Bay's defensive line. And you know that you could get Rashawn Gary, Devontae Wyatt, TJ Slayton, any of these guys going up against you on game day. Is there anything that you're necessarily concerned about at the moment? Or are you feeling like, all right, I got this?
Well, I think let's just start from maybe the most important things from a schematic standpoint. I don't think there's anybody that they're scheming for. There's nobody that, like, there's no Aaron Donald on this team. There's no right. TJ Watt, JJ Watt. There's nobody on this team where you're going, okay, we have to put protection over here. You know, we were going to slide to Warren Sapp. There's nobody.
Yep.
Now, from an individual standpoint, you respect everyone, but, you know, these guys are, listen, and I say this with the most respect possible because I really think these guys are good players. But a lot of them, when it just comes to if you fear them or not, a lot of them are kind of one trick ponies, meaning that if I take away this, they can just revert to a bull rush and I don't really care if they bull or not. So it's like, can you sit on their one move that they have and then they're going to convert that to a bull because it's not going to work. And then that's going to be my entire game plan until they show me something. And so when you go into the game, like, you know, if I have a defensive lineman, for example, acting like any one of the guys you just mentioned, I'd be like, hey, I just want to see this from you all day, right? And then make sure I got that down. And then you convert to a bull, get my hands inside. And
what? I don't know how to ask this. Why do you think that this has been a position for Green Bay on the entire defensive line that has been so hard to develop any sort of pass rush plan for some of these young, really talented players like an LVN, a Devontae Wyatt, or Rashawn Gary? Like, they're not lacking in talented balls of clay that you could potentially make something out of, at least it would seem. But they have really struggled to kind of develop these players. If you're going to be a draft and develop team, the sort of develop part of that is a very important piece. It doesn't feel like Carl Brooks is appreciatively better than where he was coming out, like, yeah, at the very beginning of last year. Again, Rashawn's definitely grown in his time, but LVN hasn't made that step. Devontae Wyatt hasn't made that step. Like, what is there something there, like, that they're having yeah. trouble developing these pass rush plans?
Yeah, it's a good question. We'll start by saying that I know factually that Rashawn's the only one who works with somebody outside all off season. And so when you see his improvement, whether you like it or not, you can say, yeah, he's trying to do something. He has a plan and he has moves. Me personally, I just, you know, as an offensive lineman, I don't think what he's trying to do makes sense, but I can see what he's trying to do and I can see why. It's counterintuitive to kind of how I would teach the other side of it.
Yep.
The other guys, I just don't think they have that person that is consistently teaching them how to understand angles, how to understand what their leverage points are, how to understand, Andy, this sounds really stupid, because the sport is so simple. But if I can get you off balance, I'm going to win.
Yep.
I'm not going to win all the time, but I'm going to win most of the time. It's just a question of the quarterback can throw the ball. And what people fail to recognize is when I stand, like, how do I win? well, what is my angle of departure? So what's my angle towards wherever you and I want to have contact? How fast do I get off? And then what body profile am I in when I get there? Like, if I can master those three things, and they're it's not easy, but it's pretty simple. If I can master those, like, I'm going to beat you a lot, because the other guy's a worse athlete. You know, he doesn't have the same bend. He doesn't have, there's a lot of things that he's lacking. And so I, for whatever reason, I don't think they have somebody that's there coaching that and spending a lot of time. But you see guys that are good. There's like Chuck Smith is a great D tackle or deep pass rush coach. I think he got hired by the Ravens. Was it the Ravens? He was a private guy. He got hired by a team, and that team all of a sudden has like 31 sacks right now. Like, it's not a coincidence. Like, you shine a light on the problem, you fix it pretty fast. I think a lot of teams just don't shine that light.
I have my Mike Wall radar going off in that, as I was watching this game, of just some really poor angles by the defensive lineman and not getting any sort of leverage whatsoever. And I'm like, Mike's going to be watching this, and I know he's going to be, you know, frustrated with some of the stuff that we're seeing on the defensive line. So I just needs to be better. And hopefully they can kind of figure it out the remainder of the season. One other player that I wanted to ask you about, Keyshawn Nixon, another player. Again, I think there's actually some really good stuff. If you go watch Keyshawn in coverage, I think there's some really good stuff that's out there. Unfortunately, he gets a couple high leverage moments that he gives up some completions out, like the back shoulder one. Like, I don't even know, it's like what you're supposed to do much different in that situation. But your thoughts on Keyshawn Nixon?
Well, good throw always beats good coverage.
Yeah.
Right, I think is what you're saying. I really like the defense from when, you know, for whatever, I think Sokomari got injured, but when Keyshawn took over, I forgot what game that was, a couple of weeks ago, and they were really kind of focusing in on the run, and they brought him in, and they, you know, effectively, I think they manned Jair on somebody for the whole game, and then they played him on the offside.
Yep.
And I just thought it brought a different tone. So I guess I would say it this way, like, I'm not really as concerned about Keyshawn Nixon from like a coverage standpoint. I'm much happier with the profile of the entire defensive football team when he's on the field versus when maybe a Stokes is on the field. Just because one of them loves to hit, one of them doesn't. And I'm all about, you already got one guy who's not a huge hitter.
Yep.
So let's, you know, at the other corner, but he is what he is. He's a great, great player. So let's get as many guys who like to hit people on the field as possible and kind of figure the rest of it out, because you've invested heavily in the safety position and the star position. So let's take advantage of those. You've invested, you know, pretty heavily at the linebacker position. So you have guys that can cover on this team. And if you have guys that can tackle, I mean, Bill Belichick said this like 10 years ago. He's like, you know, when I'm looking for a defensive player, the first thing I look for is, can he tackle? You know, I mean, it sounds, sounds stupid, but Bill Belichick said it, and he's pretty smart. I don't know.
He's very, very smart. He's 1,000,000% right in this case as well. All right, I want to wrap up our sort of defensive conversation with this question for you. I still think there's some pieces that they're trying to figure out exactly where they fit within this defense. Assuming everyone's healthy, what's the right depth chart for this defense? Who are the right players in the right places? Like, who do you want to see out there that makes up the best 11 for this defense, in your opinion? I know right now is a tough time for everyone. Grocery and gas prices are soaring, and with the holidays coming up, we could all use a little bit more disposable income. And when you've got less than stellar credit, your options can be limited. But I've got some great news for you. Kickoff can simplify credit building with plans that are the fastest and easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit, making what feels impossible possible. And best of all, no credit check is required. I absolutely love Kickoff because of its simplicity and its results. Now, I discovered Kickoff online, and it helped me build my credit fast. And as far as those results, users with credit under 600 increased their credit by an average of 28 points in the first month. It's simple. You make on-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows fast. And you can start building credit immediately for only $1 in your first month. Want more proof? Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store, and 98% are 5 stars. So join over 1 million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Build your credit fast with Kickoff. Get your first month for $1. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C, getkikoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new kickoff customers first month only. Subject to approval. Average impact of 28-point credit increase in the first month based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0 changes for kickoff customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary.
Well, ideally, if everybody's healthy playing at the level, I'm assuming you're going to be in a nickel. So I'm going to take the two rookies and Xavier for the safeties. I'm going to take obviously Jair. I'm going to keep Nixon in there across the defensive line. I think LBN is a starter on the defense because I think he's a good run game player, yep. And you're not getting the pass rush from everybody else. Obviously, Rashawn Gary would be opposite of him. Kenny Clark would start at one of the defensive tackles. And then, you know, I personally like Carl Brooks
Same.
A little bit better just because I think he is at least somewhat of a, you know, I think he's a pass rush threat where, you know, TJ Slayton is a good football player. But I, you know, I remember from my playing days, if there's only one thing I have to work, and I know he got a sack last week, but, you know, it's not yep. really, you know. So if I'm playing against Tractor Trailer or Ted Washington, you know, if you only have to worry about half the game because they don't know how to pass rush, I'm not really worried about the game anymore. And so I think you have to always have that constant threat of like, oh, man, if I take a bad set here, I really won't be able to recover. And I don't know that you get that as much with Slayton as you would with Brooks. So I think that would be – oh, I forgot linebackers. Oh, my God. Well, you already know my three linebackers. I already told you. I think Wilson has quietly been a top, I don't know, three player on this team. Like, I think he's been – you don't see him make a lot of mistakes. And you
no,
see
he's
him
not.
Make a lot of plays. And then obviously McDuffie and I think that Cooper's just too good to not have on the field. I think he just makes too many plays.
Yeah. So just to clarify, in nickel you had Bullard in the slot.
Oh, I had three guys at three linebackers. That's
you're
cheating.
Good. We knew what you meant. But in nickel you had Bullard in the slot and then Nixon and Jair on the outside.
In nickel I would have Bullard in the slot. I'd have Williams in the back with McKinney. Yeah.
Gotcha. Makes sense. I love the Carl Brooks take. I think he deserves a little bit more time. He's been a little bit better against the run lately as well than I think he's been. He had that nice play this past week where he shot into the backfield and made a tackle too. So we'll see. I'll be interested to see how they kind of piece the puzzle together the remainder of the season and what kind of mixture that they can get going. And hopefully they can get kind of something headed in the right direction. Last thing on offense before we get to Packers 49ers, obviously red zone offense has been a bit of an issue for this team. They're in the, I think, bottom third of this league. Anything that you're seeing from a offensive standpoint of like why they would be struggling, or is this happenstance? Is this bad luck? Is it like,
It's compressed windows. I mean, you compress windows when you go down there. You can't take the top off the defense. Obviously, the run lanes are a little bit tighter. You can't overstate how spread out a defensive team is now in the National Football League between the 20s. I mean, it's really easy. Like sometimes I was watching a game today. I was watching game tape with a kid, right?
Yep.
And we turn on the tape, and I swear to God, it was like, all right, six-man box, five-man box. Six-man box. You're like, what? Like, this is I was with Amon Green this weekend, and I'm like, man, have you ever seen so many five- and six-man boxes in your life? So
can you imagine you guys running against that when you
it would have been highway robbery. It's not even like an old guy's thing. It's just
no,
like,
I know.
It was just a completely different way to play football that I don't even understand. It's 230-pound linebacker. Are you kidding me? But anyways – with the compressed windows, I think it's a lot more difficult. So what do you need? What does a compressed window really mean? That means that your route runners have to be more precise out of their breaks, or if they're running window routes, they have to be very specific. Your quarterback can't throw off his back foot, okay? And the blockers up front have to be able to move humans vertically and sustain blocks. So you have to do all that stuff to be successful anywhere, but because of the compressed space in the red zone, it's much more critical. And I think that's where you see, this isn't just, you know, with the Green Bay Packers, this is with anybody, but it is much more difficult to get those things done when those safeties can play, you know, 7 yards to the, from the line of scrimmage instead of 12.
I think so too. And I don't think Green Bay's offensive line is necessarily built quite as much to be that physical moving offensive line. They're a really great pass protecting offensive line, but, you know, kind of going back to some of those run lane issues or the run blocking issues that we talked about earlier, those are going to show up a little bit more when you get into the red zone. And I think, again, that I think you bring up a great point in the preciseness of the routes and just throwing on time and within rhythm. Those things super important as well. I think all those things Green Bay can probably get a little bit better at and hopefully be like either way. I still don't feel like they should be in the bottom third of the league when it comes to red zone offense.
Yeah,
too much talent there. Yeah,
and I would say this too. Like Matt LaFleur has done such a good job. Which again, you kind of go, oh, they didn't play very well. You go, oh, they had 360 some yards. You know, it's not terrible. And so when they get down and they had, you know, 5 trips to the red zone
on 6 drives.
Yeah. So it's really effective. And so yep. I'm sure that he will address this. The question is, this is one of those things he said. He made a statement a couple of years ago that I poop on, and he was like, "Oh, the scheme can fix everything." You know, I think he was talking about defense actually, but I always was like, "Man, I hate to hear that." But you know, this might be one of those things where he has to scheme his way out of the problem, because you know, I don't know if those guys are going to tighten up what they do at the level that's required to improve in that environment.
If anyone can do it, it might just be Matt and figure out a way to get some more advantageous looks in the red zone. Hopefully that can be the case moving forward. Last but not least, Packers 49ers this upcoming weekend should be a really good game. What are you looking forward to in this one?
Well, the Niners lost a tough one last week, and they really continue to kind of lose these close games where you think they're outperforming and then all of a sudden they're not. They're relatively healthy watching the game. I think Kittle's a little bit banged up still. I think he was out last week, but I'm not sure if he'll be back. But obviously got McCaffrey deep, you know. I think the hard part about the Niners is defensively, sometimes you get this incredible pass rush, and part of that is the pressure that they bring. So not only the front four, which are really good, but also the guys that they bring up the slot or if they're bringing one of their linebackers. I think when they get into that mode and they're really kind of hunting, this is a very difficult team to play against because they get back chunk plays. And so it's like you really have to match fire with fire there and not be afraid to put yourself out there a little bit, make yourself vulnerable in order to get maybe some bigger plays in the game. Because I think going like 80-yard drives, 90-yard drives against this quality of a team that is able to get you on that 7-yard sack, you know, at least once in, you know, every 10, 15 plays. I think that's the struggle with playing them from an offensive standpoint. And then, listen, when you're lined up with them defensively, you just have to know, like, Trent Williams is going to take away the backside B gap. It doesn't exist as long as he's there. So what are we going to do about that? They run, you know, everyone's running the Shanahan offense, and they run the most sophisticated version of the Shanahan offense with the best players because they've made it better than anybody else. Like, you know, their fullback and their tight ends are really the key to the offensive success. So when those guys are both healthy and they're both playing, they're as unstoppable a team as you're going to find. They haven't played as well this year as they have in years past. I think a lot of that has to do with injuries. So you're kind of hoping that you catch these guys a couple guys with the injury bug, and then you just don't know what you're going to get from a game plan standpoint, but you're sure that those guys are going to play well up front. Can we win that battle?
Yeah, the Nick Bosa injury is going to be a huge one to keep an eye on. Mike and I recorded prior to the injury report in the first practice on Wednesday, so we are not privy to that as of yet, but we'll be keeping a very close eye on that and all of the other potential injuries in this game as well. The one play that stood out this past week that made me think immediately of the 49ers was that toss play where DeAndre Swift kind of juked out Xavier McKinney in the open field, and Braxton Jones just runs over Evan Williams on the play. I'm like, man, I'm thinking that play, but Trent Williams is in that Braxton Jones position, and you've got Christian McCaffrey at running back. Like, wouldn't surprise me if we saw that similar type of play from San Francisco with Juszczyk at fullback, McCaffrey at running back, Trent Williams at left tackle instead of Braxton Jones, George Kittle at tight end in all likelihood. Like, they can run that play probably better than just about anyone with the personnel that they have. I'll be interested to see, you know, just how Green Bay does a hopefully better job defending it than they did against that. They ran that toss play a couple times with Swift. It was successful both times.
Yeah, again, is that a problem with our run fits, not identifying? You know, what you saw a couple times there was you're identifying that late from the inside out. And then the angles, obviously, when you're playing the safety position or you're playing the corner, having to make that play, those are difficult plays to make. Certainly, when you have a good running back, and the Niners have a surplus of good people that can hand the ball. This is really a mirror. This is kind of a mirror offense, right, from Green Bay, in that we don't necessarily run the same schedule, but you have a lot of people in the backfield that can run the ball really well, and they're all privy to get it at any given point. So, you know, maybe that helps both teams prepare a little bit. But I do think that the Niners have a real unique advantage when they run certain plays with Juszczyk in particular, just because, you know, guys don't understand how to fit it as well when you have that fullback in there. They started running, and they did this last year. They started running him in that motion and then essentially turn it into an inside slip block with whatever tackle. Now, on the other side of that, Andy, like, if you're saying to me, how are you going to beat the Niners? I'm going to put them in a situation where their other four offensive linemen have to win one-on-one matchups. I think Jake Brendel's a good center, but outside of that, I've never thought they're a very strong offensive line. And they just do a lot of stuff schematically and having the horsepower of Trent Williams. So I would really, it's just one of those games where, like, if you're going to bring pressure, if you drop the right defensive end and don't even waste your time, and then bring the house everywhere else and just see if they can hold up.
Yeah, I like that plan a lot, because trying to go one-on-one against Trent Williams or do anything against Trent Williams is a nightmare more often than not. Mike, I cannot appreciate you more. You're the absolute best. Tell us all about the YouTube channel and where we can find all your incredible work.
Yeah, I got to get a show out. I didn't get a show out this week. I've been
slacker.
Busy. Yeah, I know. Process to Perform is the channel. I'll have a preview out for this upcoming game here soon. Andy, thanks as always for having me out.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that one for sure. I know I'm excited to watch it. Again, follow him on Twitter at MikeWall68. You can find me at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Packaday Podcast. That's going to do it for Mike and I today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.